What's up, family? Man, it's been a while. I am glad to be back. Listen, we in a new season. It is season seven. And as always, I got something new for you. Many more changes. I'm telling you, this is the last change I'm making. All right. But I'm not going to talk much about it on this particular episode because I have a whole episode that I recorded not long ago with my son, and I want you guys to hear that. So that's what this first episode is going to be. It's going to be me talking to you guys. Well, it's going to be an interview that I had with my son. But I wanted to come on first and just let you know we're in season seven. You see, I got some new intro music. I got some new content, and I got some updates for you guys. I got to tell you why the After Church series fell off. I got to tell you why the name is changing once again. Once again from the manhood. But listen, the name might keep changing. I'm trying to find my groove, but the content is good, right? At least I hope it is. I hope it's blessing you. So listen, sit back, check out this episode with me and my son. I believe it's gonna, is that him texting me now? I believe it's gonna, I think it's gonna bless you, right? And that's all the lead up I'm gonna give to it. That it's my youngest son, Christopher Brantley. And so check out this episode. What's up, family? Listen, you see, I got a guest beside me. I want to introduce you to this young man. His life has changed a lot lately, and so I wanted to talk to him. This is my youngest son, my youngest child, should I say, and my youngest son, Christopher Brantley, first of his name, House of Brantley, right? I just finished watching Game of Thrones. So, so I got my son with me because, you know, I felt like his story was something that I wanted to talk about, and he's been sharing on TikTok. And so, yeah, I said, man, you should come on the show and we should just like just talk and shop it up. We don't know where this is going to go, but the goal is for us to help somebody else do love and life better. You know, that's my goal, and uplift Christ at the same time. So, Mr. Brantley.
Yes, sir.
Guys, this is our first time doing this. So, you know, I'm trying to interview my husband. See what I'm saying? I'm used to talking about
married
folk, right? So I was on your TikTok the other day, and you got several videos lately. Mm-hmm. So let me say this. You got a podcast.
Yes, sir.
DNC Sports, you and Desmond. But lately you've been posting a lot of stuff about God.
Right.
Tell me, what's that about?
Lately, it just put on my heart and my spirit to, you know, be an evangelist and just, you know, use my social media platform to really spread the good news. And I kind of stopped with the podcast a little bit so I can be more so on the side of being an evangelist and just using my social media platform to just, you know, talk about Christ and talk about my story and my testimony.
Yeah. I could see the change, right? So one of the videos that stood out to me is, and I don't know if it's your most popular one so far, but you talked about how you had been delivered from pornography.
Right.
So tell, if you don't mind, tell the folk about that story and you being delivered from pornography.
I was introduced to pornography by a cousin of mine when I was around 12 years old. And I would say from the day I first saw a video, my life changed. Hmm. My life changed drastically. The way I thought, you know, just the way I went about dealing with women, just it completely, I would say it destroyed me. At least it almost destroyed me.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause when you say, well, so tell me what you mean when you say almost destroyed you.
I was so lustful minded. The way I would even view a woman, it was all about, you know, just my everyday thoughts, man. Like, I could not look at a woman and just think like, oh, she's beautiful, and it just be that. No, I literally had x-ray vision. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm looking underneath her clothes immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, in any situation could be sexualized. Like, mm-hmm. I was just completely, Satan was literally running my life. Mm-hmm. He was running my life around that time, for real, for real.
But, okay, so, you know, we live in this sexualized culture. I'm wondering why did you feel like you needed to make a change? Like, sex is good. Why not, like, just enjoy yourself however you want?
Right. No, I was tired of living a life in shame. You know, when you're portraying to be this one thing, but then you know that behind closed doors, you're dealing with something that's so major, like having an addiction to pornography. I was tired of living my life in shame and feeling like I was so far away from God. And I just couldn't do it no more.
Mm.
I couldn't do it no more, man. I just didn't want to be this way anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't do it.
You know what's interesting? A lot of people, let me just say men, right? Because I know women struggle with pornography.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of men are, you know, in the pornography world or whatever. But I wonder if all of them have the, I'm going to say revelation, for lack of a better word, that mm-hmm. you had. Mm-hmm. Because you saying, you know, I was doing this, but then I was feeling shame. But shame is not like a universal thing that folk just get.
Right.
That shame was about the way you were thinking. So why were you thinking this was wrong?
I would definitely have to give credit to the Holy Spirit. And God having a hand on my life since I was a child. And a lot of credit is to you for instilling God into me at a young age. Like, even though I didn't necessarily want to get up for church on Sundays, you got us up for church on Sundays. So it wasn't as if, you know, I was going to church and I didn't hear anything that was said.
Mm-hmm.
I at least had the wisdom to know that pornography was wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that it had some type of demonic entity on it, and I could feel it on my life. Like, you know, I knew the way I was thinking was wrong. Mm-hmm. I just knew, and that was from being in church and, you know, and being, you know what I'm saying, led by somebody like you growing up.
So appreciate you, thank you for that. You know, so this is one of those emotional moments, right? Even though I'm not emotional, I'm going to give you something for all of you men out there. And disclaimer, what I'm about to share is about me, but I'm not the standard, right? I'm just sharing something with you. Don't think that I'm the model. But you want to live your life in a way where your children, when they're older, like, they may not understand it when they're younger, but when your children are older, you want them to be able to look at you and say, my dad did a good job. You know, not that my dad was perfect, but my dad raised me in a way that was good for me. Right now, you can't have that story if you don't do those things.
Right.
Okay. So I just want to encourage you, men, not just to be involved in your children's lives, particularly your boys, but be hands on. Teach them how to be a man. Teach them how to do life on this planet. Okay. So, you know, you in your story, as I'm listening, one of the things that I guess why it stands out to me, not just because you're my son, but because, again, in a culture where you are actually the abnormal one, and like being addicted to porn is normal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have research, but I doubt very, very seriously that, because porn is a $1 billion industry. Mm-hmm. The folk that are addicted to porn, there's not a huge portion of those that are Christian. Like, a big portion of the folk that are addicted to pornography claim to be Christian.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And what I've gathered from that is there's a difference between what I call confessing to be a Christian
mm-hmm.
and then living like a biblical Christian.
Right. Oh, yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Man. You got to ask me a more detailed question.
Yeah, it's too broad. It's too broad. Yeah. I feel you. So okay. Let's do it this way, because I said you know what I call American Christianity versus biblical Christianity.
Okay.
Or you know, living. So let's start here. We could break it down. What I've discovered is most Christians, most folk who claim to be Christian, mm-hmm. don't actually read the Bible.
Right.
Is that your experience, like with the folk you hang around with, your friends or whoever, or people you talk to?
Oh, that was my testimony.
Mm.
I I've claimed to be a Christian my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But I just now started to dive into my word. I just now started to dive into it. And the more I dive into it, the stronger my faith builds, because I'm like, all the things that we dealing with right now in 2025 was talked about thousands of years ago mm-hmm. in this book.
Right.
And I'm like, all the answers are here, you know, and even the book of Proverbs, like Proverbs is so good because it tells you what a fool does and what a wise man does.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And being a Christian without the Bible, I would go as far as to say it's almost impossible. And the reason I'm going to say that is because if you're basing Christianity off of your own will and your own preferences, it's just not going to work. You're going to be outside of God's will at all times, because you're going to base Christianity off of what you believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, no.
That is true. And that's good. And, you know, the thing is, to that point, you have so many people who they like. People come into my office for marriage counseling, and on my form I ask if they're a Christian, and they say yes. But what I notice is, as we start talking,
mm-hmm.
I'm sharing what I believe are basic Bible stories that mm-hmm. if you've been a believer longer than 6 weeks, you've at least heard this.
Yeah.
I'll start talking about David.
Right.
Not David and Goliath. Okay, the whole planet has heard about that because they've taken that out the Bible. And
right.
But I may talk about David and, you know, him running for his life from Saul.
Right.
Or a lot of times I'll talk about, you know, David, how the Bible says he's a man after God's own heart, but at mm-hmm. the same time, he was a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And folk be clueless. And so that's why I'm like, hey, how are you living your life as a Christian? And you're not following his word. And you know what I get? Not a direct answer, but basically what they're sharing is folk think being a Christian is the same as being a good person,
mm-hmm.
Doing what's right, not hurting nobody.
Right.
You know, if I say the universe bless me,
mm-hmm.
I don't like I'm acknowledging my blessings.
Right.
What are your thoughts about that? Like, why can't, you know, I can worship whoever as long as I'm being a good person. I mean, the Bible is there, but I mean, it's so old and, you know, like these thoughts, what do you think about it? Like when folk talk like that?
That ain't nothing but Satan. That's nothing but Satan, because Satan wants you to worship or exalt anything other than God. He would be okay with you exalt. So people that are talking about the universe, people that are talking about the moon and the stars, people that are talking about witchcraft, spiritists, mediums, card readings, anything like that of that nature. Satan is satisfied and pleased with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what creator y'all believe in, but I don't believe in that. So, nah.
All right. Okay. So I want to take a step back, go back a little bit, learn a little bit more about you. So and I know you're my son, right? So I'm asking some of these, but I may not know the answer to all these questions actually, but, obviously from Texas,
mm-hmm.
What was it like? What was, because, you know, I ask folk this all the time. I'm asking you because I know, you know me and I know you, and I know you're going to be honest regardless. Like, mm-hmm. just cause I'm sitting here, guys, don't think my son is about to sugarcoat whatever. So I haven't prompted him on these answers. We sat down, did this interview.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about your childhood. And here it's specific. Tell me about your childhood and how you became the man that you are. Like, I know God is transforming you now, but tell me about your child and how you became who you are.
Oh, man, growing up, you know, it's me, Whitney, and Cliff. You know, I'm the youngest. Whitney is 6 years older than me. Cliff is 4 years older than me. I think growing up, I kind of deferred from my siblings in a matter of we all grew up in church. We all grew up in church, you know, from Joy Tabernacle to Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church, Doctrine by DZ Cofield. And even in church, I kind of feel like I had more of an urge, more of a hunger to learn or even just be there, you know, and growing up with you as our dad, man, I really just feel like I was more so involved with your teachings, man. I really just kind of kept a listening ear out for you. Even when you felt like I wasn't listening, I was listening, because I wouldn't be the man I am today without you. And, you know, growing up in that household, because during our childhood, you know, you was in school. You was in school a lot, you know, for your family and marriage counseling thing you had going. I think you was in school for, what, 8 years?
Yeah.
So you was working hard. You was trying to do your thing and also supplying for us. So, you know, kudos to you. But, you know, my childhood was actually fairly, I had a pretty good childhood. I'm not going to lie, man. You always had me in basketball, football, track all year round. You made sure I was in AAU. You made sure, you know, I was at Kids Across America. I was always, you know, in some type of activity, and I had to be in some type of activity because I am an ADHD baby. Seriously. But how my childhood molded me into the man I am today. I mean, you know, I've always kind of had a big heart, giving heart, always had a heart for the homeless, and I've always had a heart for God. I really did. Even, you know, my testimony, I've been in a lot of dark places, but like, I always felt like he had a hand on me, and he always had something in store for me. And I think all these years, he's been preparing me for a time like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
It's, you know, that sounded like that last part, you know, sounded like what Mordecai, I believe that's his name, told Esther when, you know, when she got elected queen. He was like, don't you think that you're in the kingdom for such a time as this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to go back to something though. So you're saying I'll put you in all those sports. There's one sport I said I would never put you in again, and I never did. You know what that is?
What's that?
Track. Cause it's be hot, bro.
Yeah.
Them AAU track meets, and they all day.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, nah.
Yeah, nah.
We're not doing this again.
No, for real. No, it was hot out there.
No.
It was hot out there.
You run your first race in the morning, and then
I was in the 4x4. That was the last race.
That's right. I'm like, bro.
Yeah, nah, that was crazy.
So yeah, we didn't do that. We didn't do that long.
Yeah.
But you know, you mentioned also too about you said something that I want to, and I forgot. Y'all know how I'll forget stuff, right? But it'll come back to me. So the story with your childhood, you were in a lot of sports,
mm-hmm.
right? How did sports help shape the man that you are?
Oh, man. It made me a leader, and it also deepened my faith, too, because I actually had a lot of coaches that were deep in their faith, man. It showed me the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And before you go to war with your brothers, and it taught me about community, having a brotherhood and those bonds and how it makes you stronger to be with others. You know, the Bible says where two or three gather, you know, he'll dwell.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, man, it taught me about community. It taught me a lot about community, brotherhood, having those bonds, and how doing things with others can build you and make you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So sports was definitely a big part in my leadership role, for sure.
Man, you know, one of the things, listening to you talk about that and you talk about community, that's been one of the things that's probably been one of the weakest areas in my life, because I was focused on other things.
Right.
And then now, as I'm older, I'm realizing just how important community is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've actually always admired the fact that you had friends.
Right.
Like, you've always had friends. You've always been loyal to them. And, like, I've always admired that.
Yeah,
right?
Thank you.
But, you know, speaking of that, how are your friends with you changing, becoming more like Christ, more, I'm going to say more serious, right? Mm-hmm. How are your friends adjusting to that?
So do you mean my worldly friends, or do you mean my Christ-centered friends?
Oh.
Because my worldly friends, who I've been friends with the longest, I'm guessing that's who you're talking
mm-hmm,
about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since I've started on this, because I've been this same guy since high school, since we first met.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always had, but it was just a pattern of me, like, you know, we'll be smoking weed, kicking it. And I got my Bible in there, and I'm telling them, nah, I don't want the blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Cause man, I'm trying to get right with God. And, man, hey, day, bro. Like, this shoot every 2 weeks, bro. You better hit this blunt. You know what I'm saying? So I always was that guy that was, I've always had a heart for God. I always wanted to get right. I would just fall back into that, you know, that worldly manner. But my friends, man, I'm not going to lie. You know, sometimes they'll say things that, I mean, there's no other word to describe it other than sometimes it upsets me, the things that they say. But I think they've gotten used to, you know, the new man that I am. You know, they respect it. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we'll have those deep conversations, you know, where they say, you know, man, like, I'm proud of you. And, you know, they want to dive into the word sometimes, or they ask me questions, you know, like, they know Wednesday I'm at church. They know Sunday I'm at church. And they asking me, what was the word about today? Definitely Walter. He'll be like, what was the word about today, Breezy? And I'll tell them what the word was about. Now, sometimes they don't like what the word was about. And it makes me think about how a lot of us like feel good messages. Because I told them that, you know, Apostle was talking about the ending times and how the world would be in the ending times. And they was like, they literally was like, man, what did he talk about anything positive? And I kind of had to, you know, it was like, hey, like, not everything is meant to make you, ooh, ice cream. Like, it's not about that.
Right.
How are you going to grow if you never get slapped in the face sometimes?
Right. Right. So now that ties directly into what we was talking about earlier as far as, you know, American Christianity versus the Bible, because I think one of the reasons that American Christians are so weak in their spirituality is because as a society, we promote pleasure so much. We promote pleasure, and it's a me-centered society, right? So if it feels good, everything that I call a blessing that feels good, I give that to God.
All right.
Anything that happens to me that I do not like, Satan must be bothering me. But you don't say that when you go to the gym and you lift weights and your arms are sore. Why? Because you expect that pain. Oh, no, that pain is good. It's for me.
Yep.
But life works that way. But everybody wants to just be, you know, I want to feel good. And I, you know, that, you know, that person died. That can't be God. Like, where'd you get that from? And it comes from reading or not reading the Bible. But that just made me think about this. Watch this. So here's something I want to ask you about.
Okay.
Jesus said in John, I believe it's 13th chapter, he said, by this, men will know that you're my disciples. If you love one another, which tells me that as believers, the thing we are supposed to be known for in the earth is loving folk and loving each other.
Right.
But that's not the case. What do you believe the church, the body of Christ, is known more for, and why?
Oh, man. Being hypocrites, being judgmental, money. I think right now we're at an all-time high misrepresenting Christ as Christians. We are leading people away from the faith at an all-time high. You know, one of the main things that people say about Christians is, you know, how judgmental we are, how condemning we are. A lot of us are today's Pharisees. We really are. And that's what we're most well known for. We're not known for being evangelists. We're not known for being kind. We're not known for having self-control. We're known for being gray. But it's, you know, this is a black or white journey, and we're known for being gray, man. And that's why a lot of people don't even want to fool with us. And it sucks.
It's really sad that when the world is hurting, they don't look to, I need to get to the church. I need to call a believer to pray for me. I need some folk in my life that know God. That's not what that wasn't God's intent. Like, his intent was, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. That means we're supposed to be the light on the hill and folk come to us, but that's, we don't live that way.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about preachers who are popular But you can see, or when if you listen to them, they're not preaching the gospel. Like, they're not preaching the Bible. Mm-hmm. But they got a lot of folk following them. Why are their churches so big?
Because, like I just was talking about, a lot of people like motivational speakers. They like the feel-good messages. And I think a lot of people find what will shout you, what will make you, you know, stand up and shout, and what'll make you feel good and make you leave every Sunday, you know, not necessarily a better person or a better Christian, but just, you know what I'm saying, you had that ear for that feel good message. And it's sad, but I think a lot of, you know, these churches are more like a cult than more so a congregation and a family. A lot of people are uplifting these pastors in an unhealthy way. We should honor our ministers. Don't get me wrong. We should honor the man of God. We really should, because I mean, in the Bible, in 1 Samuel, it says that the people of Israel feared God, but they also feared Samuel. Mm-hmm. So that goes to show that they honored him and they had a fear for him because he was a true prophet. Mm-hmm. He really had the hand of God on him. So we should honor them, but it's a difference in idolizing them and making them our God. You know, so
speaking of idolizing and idolatry, that's something that, so I've heard of idolatry all my life, but only recently, I believe last year, either 23 or 24, where I came across the teachings of Timothy Keller, and it just gave me a completely different perspective on idolatry. And from there, I began to read about idolatry in like Exodus and a lot in Deuteronomy. And man, when I read that, I am blown away with how serious God is about idolatry.
Yeah.
And how most believers today are walking in idolatry and they don't know it because you don't have a little God, like you don't have a statue that you're actually praying to, or you don't have, you know, you're not bowing down to the statue of Baal. But at the same time, you're bowing down to your money. You're bowing down to women. You're bowing down to your desires, right? That's what got me here. I came to marriage looking for ultimate fulfillment. And once I got here and I didn't get it, I'm like, well, what is this? And so I said, well, I guess I just have to be average, you know, as far as how I'm feeling about life forever. And then then right at that time I met Timothy Keller and it was his teaching that explained why I was chasing this all my life. And then when I got it, it still wasn't fulfilling.
Right.
I was trying to use it unbeknownst to me as God. So how do you see idolatry playing out in your culture today? Because you young people, like, and I don't mean to say you young people, you know, like in a derogatory way, I'm speaking like I grew up in a different generation where the Bible was more like we esteem the Bible more, seems like to me. And then your generation, not so much. But talking about idolatry, what do you see?
Oh, my goodness. Man, these celebrities, these musicians, when I tell you my generation knows every bit of piece of information about these people, from where they were born, how old they are, which is, that's the bare minimum, but what type of food they like, how many kids they got, where all they kids from, what they kids' favorite food is. So with that, I mean, that is at an all-time high. We're praising and uplifting these people. We'll go to their shows, and you know how praise and worship is supposed to be. We're supposed to lift our hands for the Lord, and we're supposed to, you know, we literally do this at these shows. We're in praise and worship at these shows. We already spent all of our money, $500, $600 just to get there. But when we get there, we are brought to tears. We raising our hands. We fainting. Total idolatry.
Yeah.
But not only just musicians and celebrities, you got to look at it for social media. I mean, we wake up, we don't thank God for waking us up. The first thing we do is go on Twitter or Instagram. We go to advice. When we need advice, we'll go to Twitter. We'll go to Instagram. We'll look at this or that. Anything other than the Bible, anything other than God, you know, it's not just, you know, celebrities you can idolize. I mean, even these cell phones that we have, you can idolize that too.
Yeah. So for context, I don't know if that's the right word for context. At this part, I'll start it right here. So let me give you guys, while we're talking about this, a working definition for idolatry, okay? So idolatry is anything that you depend on to give meaning to your life more than God, okay? So again, you may not be, as far as you can tell, intentionally and actively bowing down and worshiping. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing about being a human being. You don't have a, just like you don't have a choice whether or not you're going to breathe, if you're going to be alive, you don't have a choice whether or not you're going to worship. Mm-hmm. Because he made you that way. So you're going to worship something.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. When you depend, so here's how we do it in relationships mostly. When your relationship goes sideways, or when someone leaves you, or when your partner cheats, and your life falls apart and you want to take your life, that's a clue you had them in God's space. Mm. Timothy Keller calls it disordered loves. Like your loves are out of order. Put God back in his place. He says when loves are out of order, judgment is automatic. You suffer. Like you should love your job. You should love your children. But if you love your job more than your children going to suffer.
Yep.
Right? And if you love anything more than God, you going to suffer.
That's
so I wanted to give you guys that working definition. Man, you know, going back to this thing about Christians not reading the Bible, mm-hmm. You say that was you. Sadly, so I've been in church since the age of 7. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot about the Bible. Like I grew up not reading, but hearing it taught all the time. Mm-hmm. The mistake that I made, and this is for you older Christians, the mistake that I made that I see now in hindsight is, I depended on people preaching God's word because I had a lot of good preaching. Mm-hmm. But I realized I really was not reading my word.
Yeah.
And so as I got closer to 50, and I met a guy online, Dr. Myron Golden. Mm-hmm. And that's really what encouraged me to start reading the Bible. And when I started reading the Bible, I'm telling on myself, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Is this the same Bible I grew up with?
Yeah.
Like, this always been in here. I'm like, what in the world? No wonder my life looks like it looked.
Yeah.
If you just had read the Bible.
Yeah.
But you know why I didn't read it? Now, this is me. What I'm about to share with you as far as why I didn't read the Bible is not, I'm not sharing you what I intended to do. I'm sharing with you in hindsight what the mindset was. Just like a lot of you guys, I'm a good person. I go to church every Sunday. I love God. Mm. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? Mm. Like, I was there.
Yeah.
But I wasn't in his word. And so then consequently, I wasn't living it. But guess what you could not do? Tell I wasn't living it. Because I was good at performing Christianity. Y'all not. I was good at performing Christianity.
That's good. A lot of us are.
But I didn't know the stuff that I know. Just Proverbs. I'm like, bro, this is life-changing. Has that been your experience? That's kind of what you said as far as, like, now that you're reading the Word, it's like, whoa. Like, folk don't. The Word is good.
You should dive into your Word enough to where, because as Christians, we should be able to create disciples. You know what I'm saying? We got to be evangelists. We got to be able. If I feel like we should be so in-depth with our Word that if you had to go up to the altar and have a 30-minute sermon, you should be able to do it. You should be able to do it. That's how I feel about it. You should be able to, 10 to 30 minutes, you should be able to go. That's where you want to be.
Yeah. I mean, that's word. I think that's a good, I don't have no disagreements with that goal, right? I know most folk can't do it. And you're talking about just strictly content. You're not talking about, you know, if somebody's stage fright and different things like that. But basically, you should have that much content in you.
Yes.
It ain't about the amazement of the presentation.
Yeah, some people are not willing to
talk about the Bible for 30 minutes. Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
So tell me about, I was checking out some of your videos on TikTok.
Okay.
And one of them that stood out to me, you was talking about how, you know, God delivered you from pornography.
Right.
Like, I guess God did deliver me from pornography. In hindsight, because how else would you get out of it, right? I mean, I didn't just stop on my own.
Right.
But it's like, it seems like your story was dramatic because you got a situation where, well, I'm gonna let you tell it. No. I get excited about my son's story, but I'm gonna let him tell it.
No, I feel like my testimony might be a little deeper than others because when I say a real life addiction to pornography, it was a real life addiction. Mm. Real life addiction. I literally didn't want to do anything else. Mm. It was that deep. Wow. I literally didn't want to do anything else. I was always waiting on that downtime or that alone time to where I can go in my room and watch pornography.
Wow.
It literally got to that point 3-4 times a day. Mm-hmm. I know y'all probably laughing at me, but I really was going through it. And and after every time, you know, I would finish, I would just feel this shame. This oh man, the shame. It's unexplainable, the shame I would feel, man, mm-hmm. because I'm just like, man, if people only knew, if people only could see me, mm-hmm. you know, if they only knew what I'm going through behind closed doors, then maybe they wouldn't look at me the same. They wouldn't look at me as the Chris Brantley that they love so much and the Chris mm-hmm. Brantley that's so funny and this and that. And it just hindered my beliefs, my the way I thought. I sexualized situations that didn't even necessarily need to be sexualized. You know, I was on every dating app imaginable mm-hmm. just to get those sexual conversations out of people, mm-hmm. to get those pictures, to get those videos. That's what fed me. Mm-hmm. It was like my food, you know, like I literally would catch myself like, I haven't got out of my bed all day. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was a real life addiction.
Yeah.
Real life.
So, man, so what happened to where, like God just knock on your window and say, hey, I'm finna deliver you today. I'm tired of this. Like, how'd you get to the place of being delivered and knowing that it was God?
So I didn't have a church home for some years. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a church home. I was under the belief that, you know, God is within you. So, you know what I'm saying? The church can just be here at home. Mm-hmm. I don't need nobody. I don't need a minister. I don't need community. I don't need none of that. But yet I had this belief system, but I still was in this addiction. Mm-hmm. I was still going through the fire of this addiction for a reason. But so I remember my mom came home one day and she was like, son, you know, I just joined The Rock and I really want you to go. I really want you to, in my spirit, everything was just telling me like, nah, I was like, nah, I'm not trying to go. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it was this one particular Sunday. I just got up and I went to church with her and it was good. It was real good. So I decided, you know, I haven't had a church home in a few years. I like the praise and worship. I like the word. So I'm a join. And I actually have a friend who went to high school with me that's a member of that church. Mm. So, you know, she would have conversations with me and I would tell her, just pray for me. You know, I didn't tell her exactly what I was going through, but mm-hmm. just keep me uplifted in prayer. And, so I was at The Rock for, I would say, 2 to 3 months. And I made sure I told my friend, because they're real big on community at The Rock. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll text you, they'll call you, how you doing? You know, they try to give you places where you can serve within the ministry and stuff like that. And I mm-hmm. told her, I don't really want to be involved with everybody. I don't really want everybody to know my name. I don't really want everybody to know my story. I just want to go in, praise and worship, hear the word, go home. Mm-hmm. So I was there for about 2 or 3 months and then I texted her and I was like, you know, I'm kind of having this urge to want to, like, you know, meet some people. I was like, so I think I'm open to meeting some people and just finding places where I could serve in the ministry. Mm-hmm. So, man, it was a Wednesday service. It was a Wednesday service. And I had met this guy named Sean. At the Wednesday service and just a powerful man of God. It was real cool. We created this bond immediately. Mm-hmm. And his girlfriend name is Jada. And they're both younger than me. I'm 25. And that was, I think they're both 23, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So just on the way back, because they took me home. On the way back, I just kind of gave them my story and kind of told them some things I was dealing with, you know. I was like, man, you know, I can't stop smoking. And I got this lust monster on me, man. I just can't seem to shake. And It was like, yeah, you know, man, there's nothing you can't conquer without God, man. Like, God called you a conqueror, man. Like, and so they was like, man, can I pray over you? And so they prayed over me. And when I tell you, he went into deep prayer. I'm telling you, he prayed over me for about 15 minutes, and then she went to work, you know, speaking in tongues the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. I'm in the back seat like, what? I'm like, what's going on? Like, you know what I'm saying? Man, but I kid you not, after she finished praying over me, she grabbed my hand and she said, Chris is done. She said, Chris is done. She said, now you have free will, so it's up to you, but I'm telling you, it's done. I just told him this part of the story because he didn't know, but I went into the house. It was probably like 10:30, 11 o'clock. I immediately fell to my knees, and I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and just talking to God, and I was overcome with emotion because I felt this change about to happen, and I was talking to God out loud, and I remember in the midst of me talking to God out loud, I was like, I hope I don't wake my mama, but I got to talk to you, Lord. And I'm overcome with emotion, and I went to sleep that night, and I woke up that next day, and I had no urge to smoke. I had no urge to smoke. I was like, what the? So went to church that Sunday. I didn't smoke, and I didn't watch pornography for the rest of that week.
Mm-hmm.
I got to Sunday. Like I told you, I had been at the Rock 2 or 3 months, but I never went up to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? To, mm-hmm. you know, rededicate my life, give your life to Christ, to, you know, the whole nine yards.
Right.
I kid you not. I've always been an awkward praiser, I would say. Mm-hmm. I never was comfortable with lifting my hands. I never was comfortable with, you know, shouting. You know, I sing, clap, do the basics.
Mm-hmm.
This particular Sunday, I could not help but jump up and down. Mm-hmm. I literally was jumping up and down till I was sweating. Like, I was just fully in tune with praise and worship. And during the doctrine, I was just so emotional. Like, during that whole sermon, I'm just like, what's going on? Like, and man, it still gets to me because, man, it's changed my life this Sunday. He got to the altar call.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell you, I was overcome with emotion,
mm-hmm.
like God was speaking to me, like, move. Like, move. I felt this was my first time truly encountering the Holy Spirit in this way,
mm-hmm.
in this way, like full blown boohoo tears. Like I couldn't help it. I'm like, I'm not no crying. I'm not that type. It didn't take me nothing but 3 seconds. I didn't say nothing to my mom. I didn't say nothing to my grandmother. I didn't say nothing to her friend. About the way. I dang near ran to that altar where I was embraced. Dude gave me a big hug. I couldn't stop boo-boo crying in his shoulder. And the peace and excitement I had after that and the openness I had, like, to greeting people, talking to people at the church. And I was just so excited for the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And I kid you not, since that Sunday and that Sunday, dang, I it was the end of January. That particular Sunday changed my life, man. And after that altar call, you know, I got real deep into community. You know, I've grown this friendship with Jada, Sean, Lauren, Jessica. These people have, you know, spoke life into me at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been so good. And that taught me about how, you know, community, and we're two or three gather in his name, for real. Like, he's there.
Mm-hmm.
He's there. And it's changed my life. So today I am 27 days clean from marijuana, and I'm about a month clean from pornography, and I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think it was possible.
Man, that's what's up. Like, that is a beautiful story. That is that's not a beautiful story. That's a beautiful testimony. And the Bible talks about how we overcome the enemy by the power of our testimony. And so that's why we testify about what God has done, because that's how we overcome. Man, that's good. You know, it's interesting. I shouldn't say interesting. What is interesting to me? So a lot of people don't know that addiction, the solution for addiction, or the opposite of addiction, or the cure for addiction, is not sobriety. People think it is. I just need to get sober, or I just need to stop. No, you're not going to be able to stop. You got to replace that. Mm. The issue with addiction, addiction, the answer to it is human connection.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And so God delivers you from the porn, but he also at the same time instilled community for you.
Filled that void.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did. And you are absolutely right on that, because without filling that void, I probably would have ran right back to it.
Mm-hmm.
But he, man, and it is just crazy how he, God answers prayers, man, if you pray according to his will for your life, man. I kid you not. I think a lot of us, we pray and we're praying outside of his will. So we're wondering why these things are not being answered. But it's because God is not going to send you anything to destroy you, man. And once I prayed that, you know, Lord, bring me community, bring me people that can fill this void, that can speak life into me, that can call to pray over me when I'm weak. And Lord, give me a boldness to talk about you in any setting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy as we sit here today.
Mm-hmm.
My prayers have been answered. Mm-hmm. I couldn't just sit up here and talk about Christ. I couldn't change my TikTok from trying to be this R&B singer to literally spreading the good news and spreading my testimony.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he answers prayers for sure.
Yeah, you know, the thing about your journey over the last, really, before the last month, but for sure the last month, but even before that, God has used you so many times to speak into my life and to encourage me. Like the journey that I'm on, like with YouTube and trying to, you know, build that business or my other business. You know, I'm a regular human. I get down and I get like, man, this ain't gonna work, or I get overwhelmed. And you'll either tell me about something that's happened in your life, something God did with you, or you will directly give me a word. And so that's been a blessing to me. And so I just wanted to let you know that, man. Like I am excited, because where you are is an answered prayer too, right? And I'm praying that for your brother and your sister as well. But when you were younger, I don't know what it was. It wasn't that I saw you leading songs in church. Mm. It's not that I saw you carrying a little Bible. Like, I don't know what it was. Well, I mean, obviously now I know perhaps it was the Holy Spirit, but for some reason I just felt like God had something unnormal, if I could say it that way, for you to do, right? God calls all believers to do something, but I just felt like, I don't know if it's going to be a preacher. I don't know what it is, but God has his hand on him for some reason. And I believe that's playing out. And I remember telling you that, but what I said was, whatever it is, I'm not going to push you towards it, but it's something. And so
I thought you was crazy when you used to tell me that when I was younger, because he ain't lying. When I was, I think even before my teenage years, son, I feel like you was called to preach. I feel like you was called to, I'm looking at you in the car like, eh, you don't, you know what I'm saying? It was, hey, and one thing about you, man, is those conversations when you used to drive me to school, like, you was always in my ear about something, always in my ear, whether it was, you know, about Christ, about my life, about being a man. And I just want you to know, even though there were days where I was sitting there and I was just mugging because I was tired, I heard you. You know, I heard you and I applied it to my life. You know what I'm saying? You know, a wise man listens to his father's teachings. Definitely your father is a wise man like mine. So, like, I'm not sitting here saying that you perfect, you made your mistakes, but, bruh, I kid you not, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have the father that I have. I'm blessed.
And you've been a blessing. You know, you really have. But now, you know, I did, y'all. I heard what he said when he said, you know, I was out here trying to be an R&B singer. So you sing?
I do. And you wanted to
sing R&B.
I did.
I remember. You know, I used to sing.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be with this group called I'm Lying.
Yeah, I'm like, huh?
But hold on.
I was gonna say that. I'm like, wait a minute.
Hey, but you remember how we used to sing together? We used to sing Brian McKnight together.
Oh wow! Somebody need to pull up that video. That was
my son didn't believe I could hit the Brian McKnight's. We've never felt this way. We were singing, and I, you know,
hell of a beatboxer.
I sounded in my opinion, I sounded like I was Clifton McKnight.
Nah.
Like, never felt this way about. Like, I can't do it right now because I'm a little hoarse.
Hey, that's a little better than it sounded a few years ago, though. It is a little better, slightly better, but nah, you hell of a beatboxer, though. Hell
you know, I made a beatbox video. I hadn't posted it yet. Mm. I did a whole song beatboxing, but yeah, it's recorded, but I hadn't posted it.
Definitely one of your hidden talents, so for sure.
Yeah, but man, listen, I appreciate you coming by and hanging out with me. We got to do this again because we have. Like, some of the conversations we'd be having on the phone.
Oh, man.
They'd be like, man, I wish we could have recorded that. That would have been.
They got a record button on that now.
I know that. I know that. Yeah. I know that. Yeah.
They do. They do.
So, but yeah, no, we definitely got to do this again and maybe talk about some of the things that we've talked about, you know, not just, you know, not just as believer, but just about life and manhood, man. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, the world is something. Like, is in, and so I personally, not just me, I'm gonna end with this, and this might flow into another discussion, but I know I don't know everything. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I do not understand how any human being can live on the planet apart from God. Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I just, like, how do you get direction? How do you? Because it ain't, at this point for me, it's not even about going to heaven. Like, that's secure for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you do life here? Like, because you're not wise enough to guide your own life. I hope you know that. If you don't know that, you're going to find out the hard way. And I just don't know how folk do that.
I'm more so just be amazed at the fact that God really stepped off of his throne and came in human flesh and let measly humans mock him, spit on him, beat him, crucify him. Like, sometimes I just be in awe. I be like, bro, like, for me, as evil as we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, nah. And then, like, I definitely feel you because it's just like, you know, and I be feeling that way about atheists because I'm just like, but what if I'm right? I feel you, but like, what if I'm right though?
Right.
About everything I'm saying.
That's too big of a risk.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but I'm not the type of person to just say, well, believe in something. No, because I mean, I'm a firm believer that Jesus Christ is the only way to the kingdom. It's a narrow road. It's a very narrow road that only a few people will find. But I'm not gonna be the person that's gonna say believe in something. I used to be on that, but don't just believe in anything. I'm going to tell y'all, if you're going to believe in anything, lean on Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And ditto, I co-sign that. You know, when I come across people who want to doubt Christianity or, you know, trying to convince me, because you can, if you want to doubt it, hey, that's between you and God. But you don't want to convince me that, you know, the Bible is, you know, it's the white man's book and he's changed, especially the folk, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know that the slave masters use scripture to, you know, keep folk enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that folk use guns to kill folk. We ain't banned the guns. It's not the gun issue. Yeah. It's not the Bible issue. It's human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I tell people. You know, when folks say, you know, well, this was changed and that ain't real. And so, because I don't have time to, I'm not an apologetic in that way. I don't have time to research everything and verify everything.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I know. And I stand on this. So I don't know if I said this publicly. I probably have, but I'm saying it again now. If anybody can prove to me that a person, a human being named Yeshua from Nazareth did not walk on this earth, I stopped being a Christian immediately.
Yep.
Listen, I didn't say believe that. I didn't say convince me that he died and convince me that he rose. I know. Well, if you can prove that he did not live here, because if he lived here and they wrote about it, so you say, well, half what they wrote is true, half of that. Okay, whatever. If they wrote about it, when you study that part, understanding that they wrote about Jesus within the time frame of people who lived in that area, era was still around. So if it was a lie, they'd have said, no, that ain't happened. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't right now write a book about 9/11 and say I survived one of the planes, because it's still folk living who remember 9/11.
Right.
So the Bible was written, it wasn't written thousands of years after Jesus died. The earliest, I want to say the earliest gospel, is either 30 or 60 years. I can't remember. Right. So then if he lived, I got to believe the rest of it. I have to. If you can prove that he didn't live, then I got to question everything. But if he lived, so because they say they crucified him. Nobody disputes whether or not he died. Mm-hmm. Y'all disputing whether or not he's a prophet. That doesn't, how does that make sense? If you read the Bible, if he died, where's his body? We know a Confucius body. We know the Buddha's body. We know everybody's, where's his body?
And why do they mention Jesus in almost every other religion? He's a known person in almost every single other religion. Like they will openly tell you, yeah, he lived, he walked this earth, but they just try to say, you know, dumb it down to, oh, he was just a prophet. He was a man of God, but he was just, guys, man.
Yeah, nobody else raised somebody from the dead after 4 days. Yeah. Right? He was not like another human being. So, but anyway, man, this was good. I appreciate you coming by and stopping by and, you know, chopping it up with me and, you know, yes, us doing what we do. So we're going to do that again. So I appreciate you stopping by. I like the way I hand it. So I appreciate you stopping by, you know, hanging out with your dad. And man, listen, stay on your journey. Stay encouraged. The enemy has plans for you.
Yeah.
But so does God.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Let me encourage you. This is not something you don't already know, but I'm encouraging you guys, speaking it to you. Mm-hmm. Don't ever believe that the fight between good and evil is even. Mm-hmm. So just use this little explanation. This is always rectify your mind. Light and darkness are not equals, right? The only way for darkness to get in this room right now is if the lights give up. Okay. If the lights don't give up, darkness has no chance. In the same way, don't think that when you're going through things in life that that's the end. If God is still alive, it's particularly if you're a believer, it's not the end. And then even if I got cancer and it's stage 4, I understand. But even for you, I want to encourage you, it's not the end, because after death, then there's Paul says to be absent in the body is to be present with God. So it still gets better. Right. But I'm really talking about for on here, right? On earth, right? Okay. All right. You guys take care, and I'll chat with y'all next time.